Barbarian tribes of Rome. Germanic culture. Clothing. Now we're going to go into a series where we're going to be looking at all the different aspects of the culture of the German people. We're going to start with clothing, but we'll then go to war and then other things. Now these will be general throughout all of the different tribes that are fall into this Germanic custom. And later, once we've finished all of this background to the cultures, then we'll go into the individual groups, you know, the Visigoths, the Goths, the Alans, etc., and so on. So that's the way we're going to be working this. So let's look at the clothing of the Germanic people. The basic practice of cremation during the Middle Bronze Age and throughout the pre-Roman Age has made it much more difficult to obtain evidence to enable us to give a completely satisfactory account of the styles of clothing during the first part of the Iron Age. With the beginning of the Roman Iron Age, however, the burial practice began to change, again, in many parts of the Germanic world. There is more evidence, although it is very seldom indeed, that clothing has been preserved in the regular burials. The practice of burying criminals in the moors has been responsible for furnishing a considerable amount of material, since the process of disintegration was checked by the tight packing of the waterlogged soil and the exclusion of air. In addition to this, we have the contents of some of the Roman histories, and what is perhaps more valuable, the representations of Germanic prisoners on the columns erected to celebrate and commemorate some of the victories of the Roman emperors. It is natural that the style of clothing should change with the years, partly owing to the dictates of fashion, partly to the influences from the outside, and partly to the climatic changes, which made alterations to the type of clothing desirable. If the style of clothing for both male and female in the early centuries of the Roman Iron Age is compared with that of the early Bronze Age, it will be seen in that respect to the male clothing at least certain major changes having taken place. The men were now wearing long-sleeved jackets which reached almost to the knees. The woolen or silk mantle or skin mantle held back by the neck or was a brooch or a safety pin. However, much of the same, but trousers have now made their appearance. This sartorial custom was taken over from the Celts, the Celts, who in turn had it from the Eastern European or Asiatic horsemen of the steppes. It is obviously a very satisfactory article of clothing for the horsemen, and this may have been the main reason for its adoption by the Germanic peoples, although deterioration of climate may also have played a part, since the trousers are clearly much warmer than the dress of the early Bronze Age. Judging from the illustrations on the monuments, the trousers were narrow at the ankles, a very practical arrangement in a cold, damp climate. Whereas in the Bronze Age, a helm-like cap was worn, the Iron Age practice seems to have been to leave the head uncovered. The warriors, at least, those particularly of certain tribes, such as the Suebi, wore the hair in a knot at the side of the head. Many of the Roman monuments of Germanic warriors are represented as naked from the waist up, apart from the mantle worn over their shoulders. The explanation seems to be that the warriors divested themselves of all excess clothing in action in order to have more freedom of movement. The customary time for warlike operations was the summer season. Some of the illustrations from Roman times show long sleeves. The mantle was either of wool or fur, and sometimes fur was used for trimming. From about the 3rd century on, linen clothing was often worn. This is no doubt regarded as a sign of comparative wealth. Caesar's statement that the Suebi only wore skins is not in agreement with the statement of Tacitus from a later time, which is toward the end of the 1st century of the present era. There may be a change of custom, or Caesar may have noticed only the clothing of the warriors. The evidence of the column illustrations and the more burials would not substantiate Caesar's statement as referring to the generality of the Germani clothing. The jacket or coat from about the 3rd century on was worn over a linen garment, tamithia, or casima in Latin, where in the modern French, chemise. According to Snyder, short knee trousers were also worn, evidence for this being not only from Moor burials, but also the fact that short trousers were adopted by some of the Roman soldiers on the Rhine River, presumably in imitation of the Germanic style. The wearing of trousers was not a Roman custom, although later adopted. Shoes were of a sandal type. The custom of wearing the hair long must have changed for the great majority, since some of the tribes, especially the Franks, long hair was a sign of high birth in certain families, and shorn hair ineligibility for leadership. for kingship. This was the reason why the last of the Merovingian kings was sent to a monastery, since according to the rule, his head would have to be shaven. In many cases, illustrations in the Roman columns show beards were worn, but no doubt the practice varied from tribe to tribe and from century to century. The women, according to Tacitus, were more accustomed to wearing articles of linen than men. They wore long dresses, which were often dyed red or other colors. This dress had a high waist, was a chemise-like construction, reached down to the ankles, as a rule was sleeveless. Judging from some of the Roman illustrations, the upper part of the breast was partially exposed, but this may have been the artist's symbolization for mourning. Perhaps the chief difference between women's clothing of the Iron Age and the Bronze Age is, in fact, the Iron Age skirts were more ample and free-flowing. Then, too, the Bronze Age girdle ornament was no longer worn. General statements, however, which cover a period of hundreds of years, are misleading. The fashions changed. What was worn at the time of Tacitus was not necessarily true for the 3rd century. More burials show jackets with and without sleeves, long trousers and trousers of knee length. If one were to judge from the Roman illustration of the mourning women, one would say that the women regularly wore trousers. This, however, was not the case, as other illustrations and more burials show. The Roman sculptor was evidently using his female figure as a symbol of Germania, not of the Germanic woman. The clothing worn shows that the women of those days had attained a fairly high degree of practical knowledge of nature and the use of materials. The preparation and weaving of wool had been known since Neolithic times. The preparation and use of hides had been known for countless thousands of years, ever since man first emerged from the completely uncultured state. Linen from flax was also quite old, possibly Neolithic, but certainly Bronze Age. From early times, weights were used for weaving frames that had been found, and quite elaborate frames from the Roman Iron Age have been reconstructed. The women must have had a knowledge of dyeing. Colors were doubtless natural colors obtained from plants, and most obvious source of coloring substances. Women wore various kinds of combs, hairpins, and head decorations, varying from the times and the fashions. It was customary for a woman to wear the hair long or plaited, often with some form of ornament around the forehead. Judging from later tradition, it was considered a mark of disgrace to have their hair cut short. From the very earliest times, man has attempted to improve upon often miserly nature by adorning himself with colored stones and shells, and by painting his face and body with a variety of colors. This desire for bodily ornamentation varies in its form of manifestation from time to time. But in all periods and in all countries, the custom actually has survived. We have seen how the Germanic people of the Bronze Age adorned themselves. Much of their excellent technique was handed on to the artisans of the Iron Age. Many passages of the older epics testify to this love of display, the value attached to something with an outstanding product of workers in bronze, gold, and silver, and other precious substances. We hear the celebrated and the fabulous Brising necklace, for instance, worth far more than the ransom of a king, and one of the most treasured possessions of the goddess Freya, and the choice jewels of the Nibelung hoard, as well as what priceless store of ancient heirlooms which Beowulf, in his dying moments, was delighted to see. So clothing is different all over, so there's not necessarily something that separates the different German tribes, but certainly separate from that of the Celts. So next we'll start looking in the weapons and war. Now the source for this, The Germanic People, Their Origin, Expansion, and Culture by Owens, Civilization of the Celts by Launay, Civilization of the Steppes by Conrad. So I hope you enjoyed that. As always, don't forget to come by the website, summahistorica.com or historyaccordingtobob.com, and ask a question, leave a comment, check out our merchandise, and if you like what we're doing, please feel free to support us. Thank you very much.